It's been a long week and the weekend's nearly here. So kick back with us. Welcome to Casual Friday with Daniel Harford on 1116 SEN. For Kia's amazing end of financial year offers.
Welcome to Halftime on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Great to have your company on a decent Friday afternoon. Sun sort of shining. It's breaking through the clouds here and there. It's the best city in the world. Doesn't really matter. The weather is good for this time of year, and there's a big weekend up for grabs. Not too far away. In fact, you can down tools and say, I am out of here. And we'll help you do that too by just loosening the top button, the collar at the workplace, and just relaxing you in the last half of the day, and we'll do that with Casual Friday, a streamlined edition of Casual Friday, personnel-wise anyway, because we're down a man. We're man down with Jason Richardson, who is up there in far north Queensland, just sunning that bonce of his. Probably got a really silly hat on at the moment as we speak, but it's sun smart, nonetheless. Well, he's probably trying to ruin the racing industry up north. We're just not sure what he's up to at the moment, Richo, but I'm sure he's having a hell of a time. Whatever he is doing, which means that for the next 2 hours, it is just me and the princess.
Hello.
Rita Panahi.
How are we?
Hello, Persian. What's doing?
Oh, how's your week doing?
Been?
It's been almost started off with that.
Don't
it's
be dropping the bomb.
It has been awesome. You know how some of that weeks you're Reaganing?
Well, what does that mean? I saw you did.
Right.
I read that somewhere. You said somewhere.
You're familiar with the term Reaganing?
No, I have no idea what Reaganing is. What is Reaganing?
It's just when you're having just a golden week, when everything's just going good, you know, when you just have a fabulous run.
Why is it Reaganing? Explain to me that we're at the origins of Reaganing.
Well, Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Is it when he was an actor and he had a really good movie?
Yeah, he was a fabulous president.
Well,
the term became popular from the TV show 30 Rock. I don't know if you're a fan of that.
No.
Oh, you've got to get into that.
I
know it's done and finished, but get the DVDs. It is hilarious.
I've got time, mate.
And yes, it's a term that one of the characters, Jack, on the program.
So when things are good, when you're really on fire, you're Reaganing.
You can't have people just interfering with your Reaganing. You've got to be let loose just to do it, because it doesn't last. That's the thing. It's maybe, you know, 1 week a year you might Reagan,
right,
and then you're back to normal. So
how many weeks of this year have you Reaganed?
This is it.
This is your week.
This is it. It was going to be downhill from here.
Right. And what are you Reaganing off the back of?
I've been just insufferable all week. I've just been loving myself silly, hey?
Why have you been loving yourself silly, Reaganing, if you will, this week? What's been happening?
Well, it's just been a big week. There's been a.
Have you been out? Have
it's
you,
been
has,
a big news
Has your
week?
Schedule of events been really jam packed this week? Has it?
Schedule of events have been good, solid.
Solid.
Been a couple of disappointing spots here and there, but we'll forget about those.
Oh,
no, it's just been a fun week. It's been a great week and an illuminating week.
Illuminating.
Illuminating.
Well,
it's always
on what
good
grounds
to see,
is it
you know.
Illuminating.
I reckon just you know when people reveal their true character.
Is that right?
You just take note.
Okay, just a little
put in the memory bank.
Notebook action.
Just, yeah, for future reference.
Right. any feedback from any sports fans out there this week from you?
Oh, you're talking about Monday's
what
column.
What column? What column was that?
That was the Women in Sports column.
Oh, don't bring
oh,
that.
Yeah, that went a little bit nuts. Wednesday's column was, you know, had a bigger reaction overall, but on a sports radio station.
Which sport did you talk about Wednesday?
The ABC Q&A terrorist sympathiser sport. No? No interest in that?
No,
okay, move along.
No one knows what that is. Is it a movie, is it? Or what? No one knows what
that
is.
But yeah, Monday's column was interesting reaction. It was interesting just the different mediums, the reaction, because on emails, on Facebook, it was 80% in support.
Yep.
On Twitter, it was probably the polar opposite. People were outraged. And quite often the outrage came from a complete position of ignorance about what was in the column, because it was very clear from the just the shrill nonsense I was being tweeted that they hadn't read the column, because they're like, you don't want women to participate in sport. You don't think girls should play sport. I'm like, what? You are what was one of the more hysterical ones? You're downplaying the achievements of our golden girls. I was just like,
the Matildas?
What?
It wasn't
the Matildas. It was athletes, our Olympians.
Oh, right.
And if you actually read the piece, there was none of that. I wasn't downplaying the achievements of Sally Pearson. In fact, I was saying this is a woman who has to not just to compete for corporate sponsorship. She's not just competing against other female athletes and other male athletes, but you look at some of the sporting brands, they quite often have models and wags and all sorts promoting their products. So it's so much harder for a woman to actually make a living out of sport. Mm. And
no doubt.
She actually complained, which I should put into the piece, that after she won Olympic gold at the London Games, she lost sponsors, which you would think would be incredible. Yep. So if you actually read
the
piece,
of the Olympics, they weren't attractive enough to her.
There was not one factual error there. There was nothing to be offended by other than my opinion that I'm not interested in women's sport. I couldn't care less for the majority of it. And I'd rather watch men's sport, like most sports fans. Now, if you're offended by my preferences for what I watch, then, I don't know, my suggestion is get a bloody life. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of things I don't like. There's plenty of men's sport I don't like either. And there's plenty of men's sport that gets no coverage.
I don't watch 30 Rock.
You don't watch 30 Rock? I don't watch Home and Away. Even though it's got Pierre Miller, I still don't watch it.
Well, then that's an error. That's something you need to rectify.
Because I don't like the show, but I like Pierre. What do I do? Anyway, it is a quandary. The level of hysteria and outrage.
Do you think the timing was part of it?
Well, the timing wasn't accidental. The timing was because there was a couple of fairly major women's sports events, which I knew wouldn't rate, which I knew would, not get the coverage that they would if they were a men's popular men's sport. So it wasn't done by accident. I wrote that column that day because of that. And what's really been disappointing, can I be frank?
What's been frank? Sorry.
You know what? There's some gutter rats who sort of, are on the edges of the media, and I won't name them or even respond to them. They're not worthy of a response. But then there are people within the media who you have some expectation that they'll, at least read something before they comment on it, or at least comprehend the written word, because, they're journalists and that's their job. And the level of hypocrisy from some of the blokes who were outraged is extraordinary, because these are blokes who've got columns, who've got radio programs, who can give women's sport equal coverage if they wanted to, and they don't. But they're outraged by me writing a column which states indisputable facts and says why I don't like it. But, that is just, to me, massively hypocritical. And what they say in public and what they say in private are two very different things. And that just gets to me. You know what? If you're going to get on and have your say, say what you're going to say if the mics were turned off.
I didn't bother ringing you Monday because I didn't have too many issues with your piece.
Probably because you read it.
Well, I did.
If you're just going to read the headline and get outraged and decide, she's saying this, then, good luck to you. If you want to live in a perpetual state of outrage, probably not going to be a very happy person, but actually read it. And if you still disagree, and, we had KB just discussed it before with Dave.
Well, Dave was very supportive of your piece.
Well, no, the thing is, Dave and I agree on nothing. Pretty much. I listen to Dave's segment just about every week, and we are on opposite sides of just about everything. But he'd read the piece, so he knew there were no factual errors in it. But what he was proposing is, ways of solving that issue.
Yeah,
it
further.
Yeah. And again, I disagree with everything that he said, but that's what you do. You've got opinions and you can disagree, but the facts are facts. You can't dispute facts, and the facts are women's sport does not get the ratings, does not get the corporate sponsorship, does not get the media coverage because the level of interest isn't there. It's not some sexist conspiracy. There's not, you blokes aren't all getting together and say, let's report on women's sport, let's keep them down. The coverage isn't there, the sponsorship isn't there because the punters aren't interested. Otherwise it'd be on the back page regularly.
Which you raise in the article because they're not not interested because it's women's sport. They're not interested because there's other avenues, there are other outlets, other sports that are better through higher levels of competition, and they are mostly men, is what you're saying.
And there's plenty of men's sport which doesn't get coverage either. I mean, you can work your butt off to dedicate your life to being the best heptathlon, being the best hurdler, or being the best, name me some track events, discus thrower or whatever.
You know your track events. You're a very good pole vaulter in your day, they tell me.
And you get no coverage, you get no recognition, you get no money. You have, you know, your moment of glory if you get to the Olympic finals, but that's it, and then it dies away. So it's not just a women's sport issue, but it is...
These so-called minority sports.
Well, it's the minority sports.
They're not very big public sports.
But that's why I mentioned tennis, because tennis is a perfect example. And again, if you'd read the piece, you'd get that, you know... I'm sick of saying read the piece.
Well, you've got to read the piece. It's important to read the piece.
Well, if you're going to get on radio, or if you're going to, you know, get on Twitter and send bitchy tweets, at least read it, you know. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. But don't go commenting on it then. Women's tennis is a perfect example.
Some people, we comment on a bit on this program, particularly Casual Friday, when we know nothing about anything.
That's our shtick. That's what we do.
So we might comment. So we do that ourselves at times. So we can't be too random about that.
But women's tennis is a good example, because that is one where, you know, the 400th ranked bloke could beat the first ranked woman. But the women's sport, it still gets decent ratings. The women are making great money. They get crowds because they found a way to engage the audience. So it doesn't mean that if you're not as fast, as stronger, you know, you can't throw as long, doesn't mean that your sport is doomed for failure. It just means you've got to be smart about marketing and engaging the punters. And again, I don't see why it's offensive to point that out. I mean, we're becoming so PC that if you just even point out the most obvious facts, people will go nuts. And that's pretty sad state of events. And you know what? Yeah. Some of the dudes in the media covered themselves in glory this week. You know, some of the dudes who won't be named, some of them you don't expect much from. And, you know, they're the closet misogynists who you wouldn't give the time, you wouldn't worry about. But,
well, I don't know about their histories and that type of activity.
But there's some of them who you just expected a little bit better from, that's all.
I was surprised at the level of opposition to the piece, to be fair, to be frank with you. I read it early Monday morning. Somebody texted me and said, "Have you read his article today? It's going to get some feedback." I thought, "Oh bloody hell, what's she done?" And then I read it and I thought, "Oh well, it's probably about right." I don't think there'd be too many people that would dispute the information that's in the piece. Now, they might not agree, and they might be fully supportive of women's sport and all that type of thing, but that's different to what you've written in the piece.
Yeah,
you're not saying you don't support women in sport. You're saying that from a commercial point of view and from your personal preference, you would prefer to watch men performing.
I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. And people are like, "How could you not watch the Matildas at 3 a.m? I'm not interested enough to get up at 3 a.m. If it was the Socceroos in the World Cup, I would have. You know, that's the difference. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so much sport you can watch. I prefer to watch AFL. I prefer to watch rugby union, a little bit of rugby league. I don't want to be watching women's football or netball or a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, like, is that not allowed? Am I not allowed to make my own choices now? Is that, you know, some sort of a shameful confession that I'm making on air that I'm like,
yep, no,
get real. I mean, it is
entitled to like what you like.
Well, no, obviously not. You're not allowed to like what you like. According to the PC police, you're not.
Keith and Yarra Glen wants to talk to you about this. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Rita. I love you. I love you. For God's sake, don't ever leave. We are so PC conscious in this state. We're the nanny capital of the world. But look, you'd never get a job at the ABC, love, I'll tell you that. But
no, not after Wednesday's column, I wouldn't.
No, of course you wouldn't. But look, you're absolutely right. More power to your elbow, and just make sure, Harf, you never let her off the show.
I'll do my best. She's going to be tough to lock down, I reckon, Keith. tough to lock down these days. She's big business, and we're not quite ready for that here at 1116 SEN. Well, not my program anyway. She's going to be too much for us.
But you've got the dimples. You've got the advantage. Where else am I going to find dimples like that?
That's a good point. Thank you, Keith. I'm sure that's well appreciated. I will ask you this. We'll sort of move on shortly. I will ask you this. I spoke to a person Wednesday who was... We were discussing your article because it was still news at the time, particularly in the sporting landscape. And they said to me, you know, what you wrote was all right. But it's like that little kid... This is their words, their analogy, which I thought was interesting. It's like that little nerd in the schoolyard. You just don't need to bash him. You just don't need to go out and punch him. Because everyone knows he's a little nerd, and you don't need to bash him.
Oh,
and I thought it was an interesting analogy that... Stay with me. I thought it was an interesting analogy that women's sport has always been up against it from a public relations point of view and a media coverage point of view. And as we know, a corporate funding point of view, a corporate reward point of view. And his point was, that, yeah, we know that, but do we need to make a big fuss about it, particularly at that time when there was such good stories about women in sport and when their achievements, both the ANZ Championship Grand Final and the Matildas beating in Brazil?
You know what? How patronising is that?
No,
it's don't write a column because, you know, they're so pitiful that they're not worth even commenting on.
That wasn't the sentiment.
Well, that seems to be. Pick on the nerd.
Well, there was it's an analogy. It's not...
The timing was because it was one of the rare times that actually women's sport was getting some coverage. So why wouldn't you discuss it that week, as opposed to the weeks where he gets zero coverage, next to zero coverage. And if you actually, if the column was just about how much I hate women's sport, I'd take that on board. But it wasn't that. That was the opening two paragraphs. And it wasn't about hating. It was just having not a level of engagement or interest that I have in men's sport. But then there was 900 other words that discussed, you know, the battles that women's sport faces, because it is, like people say, you can't compare it to the men, it's different, but you'd have to compare it to the men, because guess what, that's what the corporate sponsors are doing, that's what the media players are doing. You know, they've only got so many dollars or so much space.
I get your point.
And they say, well, should we give that to the AFL, or are we going to give it to netball? You know, where we're going to get the biggest return, where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck. So it's compared every day. It's naive to say, oh no, they're different, don't compare them. And so it was discussing that. And I take that on board. If I'd written 900 words about just how pitiful women's sport is, not necessary.
Hey, jump on the line. Well, what we might do is call some bulldust very shortly. I want to call some bulldust because there's been a very, 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 very serious start to the Casual Friday. We don't do that often. We don't like to do that because it's not casual. There's nothing casual about it.
We called on to do it. We blame Richo.
Well, I blame Richo.
He's ruined our whole bloody vibe.
Well, he's up there in Queensland, just ruining racing in Queensland.
Why is he so rich? Really? I mean, this is peak season up there. This is, you know, lead up to the holidays.
School holidays next week.
Don't the private schools go off a little bit earlier, or are they already going off? They're going off for the state kids.
I don't know.
I'm saying it's peak period, and he's, you know, just doesn't care.
He's
pays
just paying
top rates.
Peak rates.
Yeah, that's what he does. He goes to the snow in peak period.
He must be going to Channel 7. He hasn't told us, but he must be.
I think he's the face.
But by the way, for racing fans, 7-8 or 78, whatever they call that channel, it's 7 and then 8 next to it, is on. It's live. It's racing today. We've got coverage. There's no Victorian.
Oh, the racing's on. Because I think it's been live for a while, hasn't it? It's had infomercials or something. Or am I confusing it with 7-4? There's so many bloody digital stations and I can hardly keep up.
No, I can't keep up either. But anyway, there's a channel with horse stuff on it. I don't know if it's actual racing. There's no racing at the moment. But I'm sure I saw a race before. So racing fans aren't blacked out anymore on TV is what I'm saying.
Super.
There's coverage. Terry Bailey's
there
and some dudes there with the microphone. So
it's not Richo.
That's
not Richo quality.
He's in Queensland. So it's not Richo.
Can I start off?
Hang on, we're going to play the intro.
Oh, yes. On the subwoofer, king mate.
King on the street. We call bulldust.
We call bulldust.
Bulldust.
I call bulldust on
them. No, bulldust.
Bulldust.
They're calling bulldust on this.
I call it bulldust.
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 Dusty, dusty, dusty.
9:14, 9:11, 16 with your bulldust this afternoon. We have, as always here on Casual Friday, some tremendous giveaways. The highlight being, well, it's hard to just pick one highlight. There is a lot of love at the moment, I can tell you this much, for the Gary's Quality Meat Tray, which is on offer. Now, everyone loves a meat tray.
But we're actually giving away meat trays.
My word, we are. Gary's Quality Meats, best market butcher per annum for the last 2 years.
Is he the one who came in and cooked us stuff? He did.
He might have.
It was good.
Got a poor memory, you know that.
It was good.
Don't be bringing that stuff up.
That is, Hunter used to win meat trays at the Rosebud RSL on a weekly basis. I think there was
Rosebud RSL.
It was his favourite place. they have a fantastic kids' night there on a Saturday night. I reckon it was rigged because he had a run where he won the meat tray 4 out of 6 weeks. Now, you just can't have
a setup.
4 out of 6 weeks.
That's
people
a
were
setup.
Eyebrows were raised. Yeah, well, he's cute, and I reckon
well,
he charmed
yeah, he
the
is.
Chick
he's very
drawing
cute.
It.
But you can't be giving him 4 out of 6. He probably didn't even buy a ticket. He's still winning the meat tray. 9:49, 11:16 with you, Bulldust, this afternoon. You can start us off if you like, Rita.
I want to call Bulldust on CityLink and then Nightworks. Now, I don't know if you've been unfortunate enough to drive outbound on CityLink late at night,
but not
even that late. It is down to 40K. They're charging you tolls for this. Down to 40K for miles. And there's no work. There's the road's halved. There's a whole lane out of action. But I have driven past it at 40Ks, God knows how many times. I have not once seen anybody raising a sweat doing any work. So... what is going on? And you know what? If you're going to do that, if you're going to drop the speed limit to 40 at 10 at night or 11 at night, don't charge tolls. Don't charge me for the privilege of crawling along a street watching no work being done at 40Ks. That's it.
I'm okay with that.
Outraged.
No, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I haven't done the outbound.
Not really outraged.
The outbound drive at the moment. And keen not to now. Did you bring that up?
No. Go Dandenong Road. At least you're not paying for
it. Just stay home, man. My schedule of events isn't as chock full as yours. So I don't need to be out and about as often as you. Chris in Epping is going to join us calling Bulldust. G'day, Chris.
Hey, guys. Arita, how you going?
Good, thanks.
That's all right. I call Bulldust, believe it or not, on Channel 7's coverage of the footy.
What do you mean?
The mega wall that they've got. 2 screens is not a mega wall. That's a joke.
Hang on a minute.
There's more than 2 screens.
Hang on a minute, Chris. Now, the poor old people at Seven, I have nothing to do with the people at Seven, by the way, just to get that clear. They get butchered for putting 8 screens up on the mega wall because nobody can see what's on the bloody screen. And they narrow that to 2 so at least you can see something on both of those shots. And now you're giving them a cook as well.
Yeah, but they put 2 up and then they took the text mega wall, which takes up half your television screen.
No, I'm with him now. If there's literally 2, that's not a mega wall.
Well,
that's a split screen.
They got abused for the mega wall, so they've just reduced the number of walls on the mega wall.
Don't call it a mega wall. Don't oversell and underdeliver. That is not going to make anyone happy.
Right,
what
Chris.
I told my dates.
I know they'll be listening. They love the program, the team at 7. I'm sure they do. 2 bottles of wine, 1 red, 1 white. Thanks to our property investments. Coming your way, starting the line, we'll get your details, all that sort of jazz. Squirrel is in Bentley. G'day, Squirrel.
Yes. Hi, guys. I want to call you Bulldust. I'm that rookie players thing that I've got there these days. You got to get rid of it. It's a complete load of rubbish. Get rid of it. It's all Bulldust.
So you're talking about the story from yesterday with Jack Sinclair and Adam Schneider at St Kilda. That's been highlighting the story. Is that what you're on about?
Well, I'm St Kilda as well, but no, it's not about the players. It's about the silly name. That's an American name. We got to call it something else. It's got to be the Grouse. These guys are going to be Grouse.
So, the Grouse. These guys are going to be awesome soon list. So you're okay to have the list as it's structured, but just give it a new name. That's what we're getting at.
Exactly.
Right.
The list is perfectly fine. It's just the silly American name.
Right.
These blokes are going to be Grouse. That's what it's got to be called.
Okay. These blokes are going to be Grouse in time list. All right.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to throw that out as a question off the SMS too. What would you rename the rookie list if you had a chance? Like, these blokes are going to be Grouse soon.
I like a rookie list. What's this aversion to anything American?
Oh, just because you've got a double passport, right? Don't be bringing your sort of hometown flavour to my show, all right? You just keep that passport in your locker.
I need to renew it soon.
And you put on your voice to do it.
Of course.
That gets you to the front of the line, does it, when you put on the voice? Hey, Squirrel, Elmore Oil Pack coming your way with these bikes are going to be Grouse list instead of the rookie list. No American jargon here. We're making our own stuff up. These bikes are awesome list. Thank you, Squirrel. Ross in Heidelberg West. G'day, Ross.
How you doing there, guys?
Good, buddy.
And Rady. Bulldust on the pay discrepancy for the Matildas, who have obviously reached quarterfinals, the highest of any football team, including obviously the men, and how the men get paid, $8,000 per game, and the women are getting, I think, paid $800. I call bull dust on that.
I think it's a bit unders. I reckon they're unders, the Matildas at the minute. Now, Reader's point about the article on Monday is that the money in the game is for the men's game at the moment, so that's why they get paid more.
David and KB's discussion was really interesting because it was looking at ways of how you remedy that. Because if the punters aren't going to come on board, if the ratings and the interest and the corporate support isn't there, can you have some sort of a redistribution, like some sort of a socialism where you pool all the money soccer makes and you give the women more? But is that fair? I mean, are you robbing the blokes then who are actually earning that money to subsidise a sport that isn't supported by the punters?
I think that's a balance.
But that's an argument worth having. Dave and I are very much on the opposite sides of the coin on, the best way forward with that. But I respect the fact that he's coming up with ideas and ways to actually do something about this rather than just send bitchy tweets about, how dare you point it out.
How dare you point it out. $1,500 they'll get the Matildas. Now, I'm jumping ahead a few games. If they get to the World Cup final, which is pretty unders, I reckon, in the grand scheme of things. But that's the commercial reality of their situation at the moment. Now, the argument that can be had, as you rightly say, is how can we improve that for the female participants at this level, the elite level? Reader's with us on Casual Friday. No, Richard today. He's up at, somewhere in Queensland anyway. Just sunning himself, just being rich. Sick. Just being really rich. Although somebody did pick up very good point off the SMS before, Rita. It's a bit rich of coming from someone who goes away at the drop of a hat on a cruise.
Hey,
17
he
cruises in the last 3 years is the count. 17. That's the count. It's official.
No one's counting.
I'm
but
counting.
You know what? I am actually feeling really in need of... Yeah, I do. I need to be out on the water because, I don't know, you're on Facebook these days. Finally, you got on board 10 years after everybody else.
I have a knack of doing that, getting on late.
But one feature I love in Facebook is... you can go back and see what you were doing on that day.
Oh no,
previous
I've seen too
years.
Many of your photos previous years. Seen too many.
I love it. That's my favourite thing about it. It's the only reason I check my profile is to see what I was doing. And it just brings up all the cruising memories. And this time, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I was out on the Baltic Sea sailing from Helsinki to Stockholm.
I've walked on Baltic floorboards before. Baltic Pond, is that what it is? Baltic
and
Pond?
I was just like, oh, I need to be out on the water. It's been months. Seriously, it's been a long time.
Come on. You're not working that hard. You don't need to be in the water just yet. Grab a chicken pizza a la melt today if you are working hard. It's Subway for lunch. That's what we need. A little bit of honey mustard sauce and that will go a long way.
It's a good mix. Cookie. Could bring more in. I don't want to be pushy, but, bring more in.
Cookie's in Epping. G'day, Cookie.
G'day, Half. G'day, Rita.
Hey,
I've got I want to call Bulldust as well, but I've got a name for your rookie list.
Oh, yes.
I reckon it's got to be a genuine AFL name, like the behind. We've got the only sport that gives you a point for something that you're not good enough to get, the original. So if you're not good enough to get on the list, we'll call you a behind list.
A behind list. Okay, I get where you're going with that. That's pretty clever. You've had to think about that.
I have. And anyway, I want to call Bulldust on the overhead signs on the freeway to give you a protected speed. Now, I've been in all mighty different cars, from brand new to old, the whole lot, and every one of them happens to have a speedo out because it's always telling me that I'm on 110 or 100, that I'm 5 or 6 k's under. And then just past that is your next speed camera.
Well, that's actually positive news, isn't it, Cookie? That means you're never in danger of getting a ticket.
No, it means that you're actually, it's telling you you're under so you can speed up. By the time you speed up to your 110, it gets you the camera of the next one.
That would be genius if they're actually doing that. Can you imagine if that is some grand conspiracy to
make more money? If you're accelerating up to the limit, then how could you be going over in the
first
place?
He's saying they're under-quoting on that indicator. So you're actually, your speedometer is correct, but it's telling you, you're under.
Oh, no, that can't be happening.
On my navigator, how it's got the speed you're doing on that, that's always 2 or 3 below the speed that I'm seeing on my speedometer. Add that to the words I can't really pronounce.
Second language. It's much easier to write these days. Thank you, Cookie. I don't think that's what's happening. Just stay locked for a little while on that speed. What you're doing doesn't need to be too much more than that. Under the list is good.
Oh.
John's in Mount Evelyn. G'day, John.
G'day, Dan. Hi, Rita. New chum list.
The what?
Instead of rookie, new chum list.
The new chum list.
New chum.
Rightio. It's a simple way of doing it, I suppose. G'day, what do you do? I'm on the new chum list.
New chum list.
Sorry, what? I'm on the new chum list. at the Magpies.
That could actually, if you don't question it, that could catch on. You know how there's things you just don't question, sayings where you're just like, oh yeah.
I'm questioning New Chum. I am questioning New Chum. What the hell do you do?
I'm willing to accept
it blindly.
I'm at the
Magpies on the New Chum list. What the hell does that
but
mean?
Then I have no issue with rookie list. I mean, it's because you're American.
You bloody
I prefer to say mark rather than catch, and I don't like, you know, all the basketball talk in footy, but I don't think there's any problem with a rookie list. We all know what it means.
I think we've hit on something today. I think that these blokes are going to be grouse list is much more enticing.
These guys are going to be. What do you do? Rolls off the tongue.
I'm on that these blokes are going to be grouse list at the Magpies. Good for you. Looking forward to that day. Good stuff. I'm calling bulldust too on local councils. Have you noticed this going on the last couple of days?
I don't even need to hear why. I'm backing that up.
They're just fixing every road island and roundabout in your community at the moment because it's coming up to June 30. They've got to spend all their budget so they get the renewed budget for next year. All the little odd jobs are being pushed into these last couple of weeks. It's around my school zone and it's driving me bananas because I've got to have detours to get to school.
Well, now you know how I feel driving on CityLink at night, trying to get home at midnight.
At least you've got a couple other lanes.
Well, I've not been going 40.
We've got lanes. I've got no lanes. I've got one lane and it's been blocked off because we're just making a little correction to the roundabout island.
Oh, the councils, really. There's no need
for it. It's a lovely roundabout.
They need to just go. We are so overgoverned. We need to just get rid of them.
Who's going
to
fix my roundabout?
State government. You create a little department, picks up your bins, fixes your roads. That's it. All the other rubbish that local councils do to sort of justify their existence, which are completely unnecessary, the amount of money would save.
It's a big
good
job
God.
For state government to pick up the whole communities.
It really isn't. If you look at a lot of countries, they don't have three tiers of government and are as over-governed as we are.
It's probably not an argument I should get involved in. I don't know anything about it.
It's the front end of paper.
It's the front end of the paper. I don't know that. Anyway, there's a whole lot of roundabout fixing going on at the moment, I reckon. Dave's in Melton. G'day, Dave.
G'day, people. How are we?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to call bulldust over all the outrage over Q&A. I thought it was good. It was raw. It was in your face. And the bloke really hasn't committed any crime. It's just his political views and the politician didn't like it.
Are you kidding me, Dave? Are you serious? Is this a joke or are you really...
Well, it is a joke.
The guy hasn't done anything wrong. Well, He's been in prison.
He went through your court system. He did what he did.
My court system? It's not your court system?
The Westminster Liberal Court System, isn't it?
Where are you from, Dave?
Me? I'm from Melbourne.
Yeah, so it's your court system too, yeah? Our justice system, ours.
Yeah,
okay. And he pleaded guilty to threatening to kidnap and kill the very men who keep us safe, ASIO officers. So that's okay, is it?
Who's that?
Yeah,
Nick knew he did this, did he?
Did he do his time and come out?
Yeah, he did his time. He came out. And since then, he has been covering himself in glory, sympathising with terrorists from all sorts of extremist groups.
I'm going through.
Not Islamic State, other ones.
Both papers.
There's not just Islamic State. He's been sending the most... I mean, he sent me a joke about...
In the back of the paper.
Gang rape.
Don't read it.
Is that something you endorse, Dave? I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
Read any of this beer, loss of blow
Dave?
For Tars.
Dave?
I don't love tennis, says Kyrgios. Extra defender can be positive. Concussion effect still a puzzle.
So I don't see any of this, Rita. This media storm that's been going since Monday night, you've just ignored it. You've just like, nah, front end of paper.
The only storm that I've come across is the rookie list situation. It's an issue. I didn't know it was a storm. I'm sure it needs to be elevated to storm status. Welcome back to Casual Friday. Lots coming up after 1 o'clock. A very special guest joining us in the studio. I was lucky enough to see him in action last night, and I'm going to give him some love because he was awesome.
You actually left the house. You mean you went out to a schedule?
I had a schedule. There was an event on it.
Wowee.
It was very, very good. I'm going to give him some love after 1 o'clock. It was good. Geraldine's in Selby on the open line, 9429 1116. G'day, Geraldine.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Rita. Just wanted to talk about the rookie list. I think they could come up with a better name. I think that sounds a bit demeaning, and so they're still learning, and I think that's not fair for people like Adam Snyder. So I was thinking something like the extension list.
The extensions. It used to be the supplementary list. Early days, I reckon, Geraldine, when I was sort of floating around.
Oh, okay. What's the supplementary list?
The sup list. You could walk around. Sup.
Subs. Subs are in
the extensions. Extensions. It's a bit of an afterthought, isn't it? The extension.
Yes.
It's tacked on. You're there, but you're sort of tacked on. not part of the main. If we're going to go down that path.
Complimentary list? No.
Why don't we just put them all on the list and just pay them different?
Additional.
Just pay them the same, but pay them what they're getting now, but just put them on the list.
Mm.
They weren't to know. Geraldine, thank you for your call.
What about the wannabes?
No. That's not positive.
Well, I'm just saying, if you make it too complicated, if you try to, you know, give it some long sort of... they're going to give it a nickname that's not going to be complimentary. So I'm saying rookie list, stick with it.
This is why these bikes are going to be grass list is in the mix.
These guys are going to be grass list.
Well, how can that be bad? I mean, there's nothing negative about that at all. It's just positive. You're going to be good. These guys are going to be grass. How good's that? I want to be on that list. I need to call some more bull dust, because there's a young man floating around here. He's the heir apparent. He's the chosen one. His name is Joe Pignataro. He's possibly one of the most dynamic young footballers I've seen in my time. And I'm calling
just
bull
straight
dust.
Straight out lying now.
No, I've seen him in action. He took on the Scobbers a couple of weeks ago. In the threes, dominated.
In the threes?
Yeah, and I'm calling bull dust on Anthony Rock.
How many teams do they have that they've got threes? Like, how many students are there?
Well, old boys. A lot of people go through the college.
Okay.
And our man is at St. Bernard's.
Yeah.
Right, the Snow Dogs.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Snow Dogs except people who play against them. And even Joey at the moment, he's not quite so sure, because he's in a heartbreak, because he just cannot get elevated to the twos. Little Joey Pignataro is in dominant form, thirds division best and fairest winning form, but can't get elevated to the two. So
it's
I call
outrageous.
Massive bulldust.
Outrageous.
On the Snow Dogs and the hierarchy. And starts at the top. Anthony Rock, I'm talking about you. I'm talking
naming
about you.
Names.
Anthony Rock, former
Whoa.
Teammate of mine. I'm calling bulldust on Rocky. Donkey Kong, Rocky, you and I. If you're in the vicinity, grab yourself a chicken pizzaiola melt today at Subway. Coming up to 1 o'clock, some names for the rookie list, the renamed rookie list, which has started off, these blokes are going to be grass list. The give me a goes, the what about me's, the guess a break list, the next big thing list coming through off the SMS as well.
There's a sensible suggestion there.
What's
sundry
that?
List.
No, sundry. What are you if you're a sundry? You just sort of tacked on at the end.
That's what essentially is a rookie list.
This is why that these bugs are going to be grass list makes perfect sense. It might be a touch long, but it can work. It's 1:08 on a Friday afternoon. You know what that means? Not too long before you can say, I'm out of here, gone. Catch you Monday, because I've got a big weekend and we are very, very keen to see what's going to unfold for the rest of round 13 in the AFL. And a good game last night. What about that? Freo and Collingwood.
Yes.
Just home by 7 points, the home team, the top of the ladder team, Fremantle. But a brilliant start to the last
game.
Round of the split round.
Be massive ratings. I haven't looked up the ratings yet, but... the week previous, Hawthorne were playing on Thursday night.
Hawthorne Adelaide, yes.
Massive. Just
massive what?
Ratings. The TV audience on a Thursday night.
TV likes it.
Is much bigger. And it's, well, the TV stations, it's quite funny you say that, because the AFL loves it and it wants more Thursday night footy. It works. It works for the TV audience.
Yes.
But a lot of the TV networks have got their franchise programs. So they're giving up top rating hours.
Right.
Which to the AFL, which also rates well, but they could be putting in, you know, their Block or, you know, their Cook MasterChef or whatever their cooking shows are.
So what did Channel 7 miss out on last night because of Thursday night footy? What was the what
were
they normally
I don't know. They're doing
slot?
Some house reno thing, aren't they?
Everyone's doing a reno thing
I
at the moment.
I can't. I'm over the renos.
I've had
I won't
a
watch
gut
any
full
of
renos.
Them. I'm not watching any of it.
Take the renos down. Unrenovate them.
We all know what to do with renos, you know. Just
we get it.
Like, we've done it. It's done. Finished. Find something new. God. So that's interesting, because I thought the TV networks and the AFL would all be on the same page. Thursday night, it's a winner, massive ratings, AFL's happy, they're happy.
Yep.
But actually, they'd prefer to have it on a Friday, because they're going to get those massive ratings on a Thursday anyway with their big franchise programs. So it's going to be interesting with the next negotiations for the rights if that becomes an issue. Because I think for the fans, I mean, I love it. I love
well,
Thursday
I quite
night.
Like it. So we had a bit of opposition yesterday from supporters when we had a chat with this with Terry.
Yeah.
More from a membership point of view, really, they weren't getting full value for the membership. But as I said,
because they can't go with the kids.
So
on
as
the
I
Thursday.
Said at the time, if it's like it has been scheduled this year and most of them are interstate, if
perfect.
All of them are interstate, I think. Is that right? You're interstate, then you're not going to that game anyway.
Exactly.
Particularly if it's a Thursday night or a Friday night. So
yeah.
You're not going to that game, so you're not missing out, and you get to still see your game as a standalone highlight game for the weekend if it's your team playing. Otherwise, for you and me, when we were watching last night, we just want to see a good game of footy. We got one. Just happened to be Thursday night.
What can we make, perhaps, Perth the Thursday night capital? Because
well, that's what you do. You make it interstate. You do Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, couple of games each.
Adelaide's only half an hour behind, but Perth's several hours, so they can still get the audience. People can still go along with their kids.
Adelaide had 50,000 last week.
Yeah.
Adelaide Hawthorn. And then they had 37,145 last night.
It is
night
Adelaide
at the main
Hawthorn,
stadium.
Though, yeah.
Yeah, but you put two decent teams in for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
I'm just Porter thinking about
game,
the
Adelaide
argument.
Game, West Coast home game, Freo home game. You maybe take it to Sydney 1 week.
Yeah.
And just see how it rolls up there. Because they don't go to anything, so it doesn't matter.
That's
so it doesn't really
give away a bunch of free tickets and see what happens. Hope for the best.
I hadn't thought about the TV, the highlight sort of shows, their main
Yeah, apparently
shows,
that's
Thursday
going to be a
night.
Factor in the negotiations. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it's carved up. I mean, Mel, there's all this talk of Google, which is nonsense, I think, for this particular right.
Is
maybe
it really?
In the future. In the future, it's a possibility, but not now. Not for these set of rights. That's not really, realistic. But how it's going to happen, who's going to get it? Is 10 going to be back in it? Is 9 going to make a serious play?
Well, you're sniffing around the newsrooms these days. You
work
in one.
All,
you need
I mean,
to tell
it's
me
in
going
all
on.
Their interest to pretend to be interested, even if they're not, so they can drive up the price. So, there's going to be all sorts of games being played, whether they're realistic in wanting to pay that sort of money, because it is a huge commitment. And the way Seven's going, where they've got just so much sport, they're just buying up sport everywhere, you think they'd really have to keep it, you can't have all that sport and then not have the premier sport in the country covered.
Hmm.
So
makes a bit of sense.
I think that's going to be fascinating in the next little while as those negotiations unfold.
Well, I need your ear to the ground there. You're in the newsrooms these days. Mm. I'm just making the magic happen here on the waves, just the airwaves, 4 hours a day. That's
champagne
what I'm
radio.
Doing. Just the champagne business. That's what I mean.
Love it.
And I know you're looking forward to the Ashes. It's not too far away. July 8th there at Cardiff, first test of Fair Gardens, which is great. And the Aussies had a tour match overnight for those that are playing at home that haven't caught up with the latest, playing Kent. In the tour match, and fair to say, the top order didn't have too many issues with the bowling attack from Kent. Chris Rogers made 84, Sean Marsh 114, Steve Smith just doing what he does, 71, not out again. Michael Clarke 56, and Shane Watson was 8, not out. The Aussies 3 for 348 in the first day of the tour match against Kent. What about Ivan Thomas? He was the man. Not Ivan Thomas. He got pumped. Matt Hunt.
He wasn't the man.
No, he wasn't the man. Matt Hunt was the man. He got all three wickets, all three Aussie wickets. What about him? He's just high-fiving himself silly at the moment, Matt Hunt.
Yes.
Now, 3 for 78. He got bashed a bit, 3.71 and over, but he got all three wickets for Kent.
Solid.
Do you think he's in the mix for the English team?
I couldn't intelligently say because, I haven't been all over the English team selections. I'm going to say,
he's not in the squad, so it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I could not say because I have not been across that. But can I go to something that's a little bit more serious in sport?
Oh, well, hang on.
Well,
depends.
No, it's
depends
little,
how serious it is.
Just a little because I want your insights because
well,
you
I've
were
got,
there.
I've got, oh, right.
You were there.
Normally I've got, is it front half or back half?
Both. Well, it was in the back page, but there was a little blurb at the front as well. So this is sort of covering all areas.
Right, okay. Well, I need to focus on the content in the back half if you're going to bring me
It was in the Herald Sun earlier this week. Right. We had an ex-footballer, double premiership player, Brent.
Brent Guerra.
Guerra coming out.
One of our own here at SEN, of course, these days, doing great things upstairs.
And that prompted Hawthorn to come out afterwards and say, we don't have a gambling problem at the club. And so I just want to talk to you about your time at the club. Is there a culture of gambling, unhealthy level of gambling within football clubs that you've seen?
Not that I've seen firsthand.
Really?
No. And we're going back a long time now when I was playing, so the world was very different.
There were still TABs and bookies and people
gambling.
Yeah, but
there wasn't the money. We weren't earning the money that these blokes are earning. Nowhere near it.
You were doing all right.
Nowhere near it. Like the top end.
Yeah.
The top end were making 500, 700 maybe at that time. Like the megastars.
Struggling Carey, along. How could they live?
Like the Carey sort of megastars and millions and that sort of stuff. It's a different game. But the top, the really good players might have been making 500.
Yeah.
I reckon that was just about seeing it out. Mm. And that was like 1% or 2%.
Yeah.
And then the most of us were floating in between the 1 to 200 bracket, which is not certainly not to be sneezed at.
Yeah, it's still great
but
money.
But it's not huge dollars. So there was no... you'd have blokes have bets and you have a little punters club and that sort of thing. But I came across no one in my time that had anything near an issue, or and there certainly wasn't a culture of let's get six blokes and we'll just go to the tab for fill in half an hour.
Yeah.
And there was no online sports betting really those days.
Well, it's so much easier these days, isn't
yeah.
it?
With the it's a very different culture.
With your smartphone, it's if you've got a problem, it's really difficult, much more difficult to overcome it now than it would have been back then. Because, you know, what are you going to do? Not look at your phone? Because it's there. You can, yeah. you know, play poker on your phone. You can bet on anything yes, around the world on your phone.
There's no sort of stuff going on.
Well, that's interesting.
So we didn't have that sort of stuff.
I mean, we're hearing...
You know, we did. We played golf when we had time.
Really?
We played golf. We did stuff. We didn't just sit on our phones and go through Facebook and bet on the races.
You mean you didn't sit at cafes and look at your phone?
No. We spoke to each other. We played table tennis. We played golf.
We
had indoor cricket, which was banned after a couple of incidents, but it was a great game. But we didn't... No, there was none of that. I've never seen that. I'm not surprised.
So you think it's just
the way
symptom
the game's gone and
of the
symptoms
money.
Of that now.
So you think it's...
Absolutely it is. The time, the money, the accessibility,
okay.
the convenience, all those things that Goo was talking about the other day. I can absolutely understand how you get into it. If you've got that addictive personality,
yeah.
then that's bad business. That's going to be bad long term, which we saw with Ox, which we saw with Goo, and I'm sure there's plenty of others out there at the moment battling similar issues that we don't know about yet but are getting assistance. And Ox said last night, I think on the run home, that there's 45 to 60 players that he's been sort of aware of or working with through the competition at the moment that are seeking advice and help with this type of problem. Now, that's not to be sneezed at.
That is a massive number.
That's 5% of the whole population that we know about.
And they're the ones who've put up their hand and said, I've got a problem,
yeah,
I want help.
Yeah.
And typically they're a minority. You know, the pool of people who've got an issue, who haven't sort of come to the point where they can seek help is normally much bigger. So that's a worry.
Yeah, no doubt. And one of the points off the SMS is Goo said he gambled in private. So it's one of those things. Gambling is not one of the things you do in a team environment. It's not something you walk around and say, yeah,
well,
I just had $100.
These days it isn't. But in your day, it may have been because you might be at the races or you may be at the TAB.
Well,
you know, you couldn't just do it all on your phone or on your computer. So, so yeah, it is a little bit more private these days. Interesting. So,
and we did bet on the golf games. There was a lunch up for grabs every time. So that's someone wants to know if we bet on the golf games. Yeah, we did. It was always lunch was on the line, and that was fiercely fought for, by the way, because there's normally $4.80, and after you get your lunch out of that, and you buy the most expensive thing just to make it really annoying for the bloke who's paying, it's a couple of hundred out of your pocket.
Have you ever played the new lunch game, which is where you sit down? Or it doesn't have to be lunch. It can be dinner. It can be coffee. And you put your phones in the middle of the table.
Yes. Yes, I know where you're going with this.
Yep.
Yes.
And the first person who just has to have a look at the phone, that's it. They have to pick up the bill. Have you done one of those? No, I haven't played that.
I can't play
that because I know I'd lose.
Again, my schedule of events doesn't require too many times where there's too many phones in the middle of the table. It's just me normally at Bricky by myself.
Well, I refuse to participate. So I am
you
the
can't
standout.
Refuse.
Because I know I'm going to lose. Why would you enter a bet where you know you're going to be a loser? Like, that is just silliness.
Well, that makes a bit of sense.
So, because I know I'm going to have to look
Why
at it.
Why can't you control yourself, woman?
Because I just love it. I just love it.
It's a phone. You can have lunch and communicate with people face to face.
You know how I said I was Reaganing this week and everything was just going great?
Reaganing. There it is again.
Except this shows you how dependent I am on my phone. I was in such a good mood. I thought I'll take the long way to work. I'll go along Beach Road. Beautiful. It was a beautiful.
You're in such a good mood. You went the long way.
Along the beach. I just wanted to enjoy the
drive. I can't recall anyone ever saying that in my whole life. I was in such a good mood. I went the long way.
It's just like the song. I took the long way home. I took the long way to work. I got as far as, I think it was Aspendale, and I was going to put the phone on the charger. I know you're not supposed to touch your phone, but I was going to put it on the charger because I noticed it's normally on the charger. As soon as I get in, before I turn on the engine, I put it on the charger. So I pull aside in a mad panic. Where is the phone? It wasn't there. And I had a decision to make. I've already driven for like 30 minutes. Do I keep going to work or do I turn back and drive an extra hour back? And I had to go back. I couldn't go to work without the mobile there. Yes, I've got a phone on my desk, but I can't be without the mobile. Anything could be happening that I won't be aware of. So So, yeah, that kind of
ruined. So you drove back.
I added an extra hour of driving to my morning.
So was your mood so good after that?
Well, did you still come back the long way? No, I was a bit stabby for about an hour.
Did you come back the short way?
I came back. Well, because I was on. I got a call that I had to do quite a big piece for the following day. So I was just like, no, this just... No, I was not.
So your whole mood was turned by the fact that you left your phone at home. You couldn't live without it.
Well, I wonder how many people, if they go to work or they go somewhere and they don't have their phone, turn back because they can't be without it. Surely I'm not alone in that.
I would like to know the answer to that.
Or do I need to seek help?
9:49, 11:16. Are you in the Camp Panahai or are you in Camp Hufford where I'm more than happy not to have it because then you can't ring me?
Oh, really? You're one of those people.
I am okay with it.
I'm happy to get rid of my message service. My phone, I hate people who leave messages. Don't leave me a message. If I'm not answering it, I don't want to hear from you.
My phone's for necessity. It's not for convenience. If you need to get me, you'll get me if it's there, if I choose to answer it.
But what if there's something happening? What if there's an earthquake somewhere? Or, you know, there's a tsunami.
I'll feel it. Perhaps not the tsunami, but I'll feel the earthquake if it's around the vicinity. If it's affecting me, I reckon I'll feel it.
You're not
going to tell me before it's
sending
coming.
Sending you an urgent DM that you need to attend to.
There are no such thing as an urgent DM.
There are in my world.
Rubbish.
So many urgent DMs.
You don't need your phone. Stop being so reliant upon it. 9:49, 11:16, 22:01. Back shortly. Getting some interesting feedback to the quandary you've thrown out there before the break. Panahai. AC in Montmorency says, can't survive. Camp Panahai. I'm getting a lot of SMS. Dockers in Germana says, always need my phone. How else do I SMS SEN? That's a good point, Dockers.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I'll cop the head. That's sort of a service requirement.
Also, Shannon saying it from in Perth, saying, I don't have my phone. I can't listen to SEN. That's not cool.
Well, yeah, it's not cool. You listen to SEN.com.au on your computer, your laptop, your tablet.
Really, you're kind of desk-bound then, aren't you? You kind of want to be walking around.
But I'll work with the service component. But yours isn't a service company. Yours is just a voyeurism.
No, it's being in touch with the world.
Yes, you're voyeuristic. You're just watching the world go past you through your
phone.
I
need to know what's happening. I can't be unawares. You know,
it's gossip and innuendo is what it is.
No,
that's what
I want to know about earthquakes and tsunamis.
You don't want to know about earthquakes and tsunamis.
That's all I care about.
Rick at Secure has got great feedback for you for the mobile phone on the restaurant table game. He's undefeated. Oh. I reckon I could... Rick and I would be undefeated. I'd be undefeated in that game.
How many meals would you go through? Yeah, I was going to say. This could be like some sort of a standoff.
It would ring all night long and I just keep eating. Not interested. Not interested. If I'm having dinner with you, Panahai, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, no. But like, what if there's some... that's the thing. People think it's rude now if you look at your phone at the dinner table. But it's 2015. You can do both. You can pay attention to the person you're with and check stuff and then come back to them. And it is. It's like you hosting the program, checking the paper, talking to your listeners.
No, it's different. Saying it's different.
It's multitasking.
I'm at work. I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm not working when I'm having dinner with you.
Yeah, but if you're at home with the wife and you're watching, what do you two watch together?
Wentworth. How good's Wentworth? What a great season.
You're still engaging. You're still talking. You still know she's there, but you still, you know, your attention is shared. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're not happy to be there.
Are you equating sitting on the couch watching TV to going out for dinner with someone?
No, I'm just giving it as an example where you can be present. But also not, you know, 100% looking in your eyes. Sometimes you've got to look down at the phone.
No, you don't.
You have to.
Barney's in a row. G'day, Barney.
G'day, Half. G'day, Root. I'll fess up right from the word go. I'm a technophobe. I hate any form of this. I wouldn't have a mobile phone unless it was absolutely necessary, and it is, unfortunately, in this day and age. Mm. But I remember early summer last year, we're sitting out on the deck at the Rye pub, and... having a nice cleansing ale, et cetera, et cetera. And these two seemed to be very lovely young girls, about in their mid-20s, obviously hadn't seen each other for ages. You know, done the big Y generation hug, and it was all, you know, it's stuff, yeah, it was lovely. And I was thinking to myself, isn't that nice, you know, two young friends catching up? Within 5 minutes, the conversation had dissipated, and bang, straight on the mobiles they went, did not... I was there for like an hour and a half. They did not have another conversation. Even while they were eating, they were texting. It's a skill. I mean,
that's
I'm really pleased
skill.
For them. But I just thought it's a bit of a sad reflection on
that's
human
too
contact.
Much. But if it was, say, 20% phone time, 80% you time.
Don't wink at me when you say that.
Point and wink, you time.
Don't point and wink.
I reckon that's okay. That's a good ratio. Because things change.
You want to play that game?
You can't always live like it's the 1930s.
Of course you can.
We're different beasts these days. You know, we didn't have smartphones back then, and we do things differently.
We do things differently.
I don't think it's a, you know, yeah, I think if you spend 5 minutes saying hello and then 2 hours ignoring each other, looking at your phones, it's not ideal. But it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. You can have a happy mixture.
Sometimes it's nice to just sit there and know they're there. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's it, because sometimes you sit down and you know, you've pretty much said what you want to say.
Barney, I'm with you, brother. Can bring yourself up to town, a $75 voucher to Ribera's Restaurant. Take someone with you and talk to them. Have a lovely time with them. Put your phone on the table and don't pick it up. End of week, happy time every Friday night between 4 and 7. Half a dozen freshly shucked oysters and a house beverage for only $15. Google Ribera's. The rest is easy, Barney. Good stuff. Gary's in Geelong. G'day, Gaz.
Oh, hi. How are you, Half?
Good, buddy.
I actually don't have a mobile phone.
No, I don't believe. Well, you're calling us on a landline.
I am on a landline.
Are you really?
It's like one of those dials you use.
It's the rotary, wasn't it? The rotary dial.
Is it at least cordless or is it a
It's worked, but it's like digital now, so it's all a bit high tech that way. But I got my head in the sand. I decided that I just like to talk to people face to face, and I just do that. So if we're at that restaurant, I'd have no problem whatsoever in not touching the mobile phone.
Yeah, you know what?
You're not forking out for the bill, Gaz.
Gary.
You're real with me.
I wonder how many other Garys are there.
How many other Garys are there? See, there's lots.
Because there isn't. No, who don't have a mobile.
Oh, no, sorry, that's extreme.
Because the penetration rate with mobiles in this country is actually more than... Well, there's more mobiles than there are people, because people have two phones.
Well, you do.
Well,
some of us just have one.
For special occasions.
Some of us just have the one.
But, yeah, not many people have the number to the second one. But, yeah, it's interesting that I wonder how many there would be. There wouldn't be many, I don't think. Because you say, you know, people are pushing 100
with their mobiles. The landline only is unique these days.
I haven't had a landline for years.
I've got one. It doesn't work. I don't know what happens.
Why would you pay the rental on it? What's the point?
Oh, it's all part of the bundle. You know the bundle.
It's the bundle.
They got me with the bundle, Gaz. Stay on the line. You don't need a landline for Gary's quality meat tray. It's a beauty. Valued over $80. Paran Markets. Best market butcher for the last 2 years. Garysqualitymeats.com.au. And we'll get you details. Stay on the line. You'll love it. Con's in Ripon Lee. G'day, Con.
Hey, Daniel and Rita.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. I think that's pretty much the height of bad manners when you're out eating with someone and you're always checking your phone. In a nutshell, I think it's saying, well, what's on my phone is more important than you.
Well, no, you know, well, why does it have to be both? Why can't it just be you're important? I'm just going to check my phone for a few minutes.
My Facebook feed's important.
I've been a nightmare this week. I've copped a lot of put the phone down because I've been, you know, at dinners and looking at my phone a bit too much.
Put your phone down, man.
Yeah, I'll admit this week has been excessive, but I think 20% is completely acceptable. That is enough time. One-on-one.
20%.
One-on-one or whatever group time and then 20% screen time.
You know, I could almost accept answering the call. I could not possibly accept
answering a call annoys me more than checking the phone.
No.
Because that then takes over.
Checking your Facebook feed instead of talking to the people that you're there supposed to engage with. Where are your manners?
It's just... I'm saying 2015, that is the new manners.
Well, if this is the new manners, then I want out. I want the old manners back. Someone said off the SMS, half 35 going on 65.
I'm with that person.
I've got no problem
with
that, Terence. I have no problem with that.
So I'm going to be catching up with your mum for a coffee shortly. Please
don't.
Is she going to judge me if I look at my phone?
You betcha. She'll be all over you.
No.
Like a cheap suit.
You know what? I won't look at my phone because we're talking about you. Slap
me. She might slap you. It's been known to happen 27-2. 21-2 on half time. It's great to have your company on Casual Friday. Rita Panahay with us today. No Richo. He's up sunning himself at Queensland somewhere, having an awesome time with the fam, and fair enough too, in the school holiday period. Hey, Rita, you know that I don't get out very often because I'm a little bit grandpa-ish.
You are... it is become an issue. I've thought about some sort of an intervention.
I'm very
because I've organised tickets for events. You get invited to all sorts of good stuff and you never leave the house.
No, only on special occasions.
Well, last night was a
special occasion. I got an
invitation. I'm a little bit jealous because what's got you out of the house?
Well, something I would never normally go to. There's a cabaret show. Melbourne Cabaret Festival's on at the moment, melbournecabaret.com. But I went to a show last night on the back of the name, the person whose show it was. I like his work. I've always liked his work, mm-hmm. and I thought, this could be interesting. It's not my cup of tea, not my shtick, but I'm going to go and see it. It's called Rob Mills is Surprisingly Good.
Rob Mills is surprising.
That's the name of the show. And Rob Mills, who was much better than Surprisingly Good last night, joins us this afternoon on Casual Friday. G'day, Millsy.
Hey, guys. Long time listener. First time being here on a Casual Friday.
You've been here before. Oh, no, Casual Friday.
I don't think I've done a Friday.
You've never done Casual Friday.
I feel like it's big shoes to fill for Richo. I've got to come up with a few little puns. I've got to come up with a few little gags.
A few little value tips for the punters.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just weirdness. You know, you've got to have some weird sort of, you know, hate cheese.
Off the
Vegemite.
Walls. Yeah, no, I don't have any of that. I don't like fish. Seafood? Bumbering. Don't like seafood.
Not that unusual to eat like seafood. But not having pizza with cheese.
Oh, you know what I just got told? Don't have gluten anymore, Millsy.
Oh, you're gluten free.
No, don't become
one
of those.
It is the worst day of my life. Yeah. No pasta, no bread.
Second opinion.
You know what? I'm with you, Rita. I'm going to get that food test done. You know where they test for all allergies and all that?
Yeah,
get
it done. So many people who, I have to have a gluten free diet. It's rubbish.
It's
like the percentage of people who actually have to be on gluten free is pretty small.
It's a serious health issue for those.
Plenty of people who think they should be.
Yeah, I'm not one of the people that just went, I'm just going to get gluten free. No, I'm just. I actually was told. So
no. Second opinion. A third and a fourth if you need it.
Yeah, I love bread. I love pasta.
Tell me about your show, mate. Because it was bloody brilliant. I reckon it's false advertising the name of the show. Surprisingly good. It's Rob Mills is bloody brilliant. Because you were last night. It was a great show. Cabaret.
Yeah.
Now, when we were talking about it just
I was thinking
the break.
Singing, dancing,
lace leggings, sort of high heels.
Maybe burlesque or something.
Burlesque,
It's got a weird stigma attached to it, but cabaret's really just, it's just intimate theatre. Like, it's just storytelling. If you go along to any of the shows this year, I know just in Sydney, my mate, he's just done a Kurt Cobain show.
Oh, wow.
He's the lead singer, Justin Burford, lead singer from End of Fashion. Yep. Another mate of mine just finished a musical, but he's like, I'm just going to do a Jim Morrison show. So it's him playing piano but singing all the Doors songs. So
cool.
It's not just, you know.
It's not Liza Minnelli. We're thinking Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, cabaret. It's not like that at all.
So what happens in your show? Will it just be me singing?
A lot of some songs, some stories from my past, from me as a kid. You know, about the family breaking up.
It's a life story,
and,
isn't it?
Yeah,
up to this point.
I shouldn't really call it Rob Mills the musical, but it sort of is. Also, obviously, you mentioned the elephant in the room, the Paris Hilton stuff.
Well,
and take the piss out of that.
Yeah, which is great with the way you do it, by the way. And as soon as I said
what
today...
What song goes with that? I want to know what song goes with that.
Taylor Swift.
I knew you were trouble.
I love it.
Very good.
I don't want to spoil the gag that goes with it.
No, I'm not going to spoil it.
I love it.
Without even saying a word, as soon as you said, I've got a joke, I knew exactly where you were going
to define
that moment. Beck's sitting there going, what are you laughing at? I said, you'll find out.
It's a classic joke.
Each song that you sing sort of coincides with an event in your life, like that song would have...
It's kind of like, I explain it like this. In every good movie that you've seen, what is the thing that makes you feel the most? It's the music. It's the score.
Definitely.
It's the score. It's the underscoring of the undercurrent. The good thing about really good musical theatre is when you can't say the words anymore, you sing them. And when you can't sing them anymore, you stop and you just say what you need to say to that person. So that's the way I've tried to craft this show. And, you know, it is a story. It's got an arc and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it's a really entertaining story, just by the way. And I encourage anyone to get along and see Millsy in action.
I want to see this. But I want to hear the Paris story.
And that's where I'm going. As soon as I said today to the team out the back, I went and saw Millsy last night in this cabaret show, Surprisingly Good. Bloody brilliant. And they said, Rob Mills, Australian Idol, Paris Hilton?
Exactly.
And that's how you open, pretty much, that's how he opens the story, because that's what people think when they think of Millsy.
If you Google Rob Mills,
how far down the list?
Is Paris prominent in the first page of Google?
I think in images, probably. But
in
I
images?
Think just do it. Are you doing it now?
Well, you didn't need to get on the balcony, did you? You didn't need to get out on the balcony.
If you're 20...
You didn't know. She never has paparazzi following
If you're 20 stories up, right, and it's the first time that you've ever seen the Harbour Bridge, what else are you going to do?
You grew up in Australia. You're telling me this is the first time you saw that?
In Sydney, yeah.
Really?
It's the first time I've seen it from...
Was that your first time in Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I'd moved there for Idol, so I'd only been there for like, what, 6-7 weeks or something?
Wish my first trip was like that.
Yeah. I think I said it last night in the show, I mentioned it. Like, I'd never been on a plane before that. Like, literally, my family holidays were caravan trips, cousin camp, we called it.
Cousin camp.
And we'd go to, like, Chuka, Mildura, we'd go out to, you know, Warrnambool. So for me to just even get on a plane was like, I'm getting on a plane? People were like, settle down, mate. It's just a plane.
Hour up the road.
Businessmen. And now I'm on a plane all the time, but still, I still get excited.
And there's so much, and you learn through the show that there's so much more to Two Millsy than that. And the time with Wicked, of course, was unbelievable, and really quite a poignant moment in where you've come from, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's with everyone's life. You know, in that moment where you work out what it is that you want to do. I mean, for you, I imagine it's like I want to play footy, and you got to live that dream.
Yep.
But afterwards, you're like, well, I've got to go do something else, and you found a real niche in this show. So I don't know, it's finding that thing that you really love doing. And I suppose we're all lucky enough to be in a position where we get to do something that we love.
Yep.
Now, after the break, I want to talk about something that's it's going to be a little bit personal for both of you.
Oh.
Well, we all have.
What's happened here?
You know, we're all allowed one girl crush or man crush.
Yeah, I've got both.
Even if you're straight, you know, you're allowed to have a same sex crush.
Uh-huh.
And. Uh-huh. We've got to just explore Rob's.
Well, we'll hold fire there. We're just interesting. Not sure where this is going, but we will see after the break.
You'll see.
Right. Rob Mills is with us. You might know him as Millsy. He's still Rob Mills or Osher Millsburg, as he was last night at one stage. Very funny stuff. His new show, by the way, is called Surprisingly Good at the Melbourne Cabaret Festival, melbournecabaret.com. We'll talk more about it after this.
On 11.16 SEN, halftime with Daniel Harford for boozebids.com.au. Bid, win and save on Australia's largest range of booze and the Photon Tunland, the only ute that comes with the legendary Cummins engine.
Any excuse to play the Swizz on halftime, let's be honest, doesn't really matter why. Let's just get around her. She's lying on the cold, hard ground.
Woo!
Kendra Friday, Rob Mills is with us. Got a new show. Rob Mills is surprisingly good. He's much better than that, by the way. MelbourneCabaret.com.
Did that come from a review?
Not just...
The title?
The title.
Lots of reviews and also just face-to-face meeting people in the pubs on the street. They go, you're actually not a bad bloke, mate. What do you mean? Actually not. You could just say, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
It's that perceived...
That backhanded compliment. Yeah.
We love it. We love it here in Australia, but it's the same. You got to take it. You got to take a compliment when you can get it.
And what's known for your adventures with Paris Hilton, certain judgments are made.
And I imagine a lot of people don't go out and see musical theatre, so I understand it's okay. I'm like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I didn't until last night. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, mate.
Just some feedback too, just in footy news, just by the way, Patrick Keane tweeting that the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal has ended its deliberation on sanction of former Essendon FC support person found to have breached the AFL anti-doping code, or the anti-doping code. Now, we assume that this is Stephen Denk. I don't know this, doesn't get named, but we assume that the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal has imposed a lifetime sanction commencing on 25th of June 2015. Now, it's all very well and good, but we don't really know who that is. We assume it's Stephen Denk.
Yeah, I think so.
We assume that that's the case.
The weapon?
We'll look into confirmation of that very, very shortly. But that's the tweet from Patrick Keane from the AFL. And now, you're a Hawks man too, by the way.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I'll be there Saturday.
You'll beat the Bombers?
Yep, for sure.
Nice.
Got to win this one.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to win them all. But
walk in the park. really.
Walk in the park.
They're a little deflated, aren't they?
Your Hawks obsession brings me to your man crush. Just let's talk about it.
Yeah.
It's...
What have you heard?
What have you heard?
I've just heard that...
What have you got?
Well, we all love the dimples. We love the deep blue eyes.
Yeah.
But
the long lashes?
The lashes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wouldn't have thought Daniel Harford was your man crush material.
Yeah, as a kid, definitely. I had number 15 on my back.
Really?
In all my Guernseys, yep, as a junior footy player. And I was a big fan of the Hawks.
All the kids were like, oh, who's your favourite player? Oh, you know, it would be Crawf or...
No.
Wayne Carey or
not Dermy.
No,
not the rat. Not the rat. Johnny Platton. It was D. Hufford.
See, that's my D. Hufford is surprisingly good moment.
Yeah,
right there, surprisingly good.
You know, shattered when he went to the Blues.
But somebody wore the jumper.
Oh,
shattered. Like,
and that didn't do anything to.
Didn't stop loving him.
But you've loved him even in retirement. Like you haven't thought, oh, you know, let's look at the next generation, you know, maybe Lenny Hayes is and Jonathan Brown, a lot of blokes of man crushes and those two.
Follow his coaching career. Like, I just
Nat
still
Fife,
here.
Nat Fife, now it's still.
Are you still any man that can pun his own name is like, you know, half time. Enough. Like, that's just genius. Like, that is, I mean, this man who's born for this role.
Look, it's hard to argue with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a hole in that story, but I can't. I just can't
it's
at the
just
moment.
Too much and love. It's
the dimples.
Me
look at the dimples. Look at him.
I know the dimples. I can't deny the dimples, but you know, the love in this room is making me uncomfortable.
No,
that's all I
good.
Want to say.
It's all good. Hey, there's another room. You came in here before talking about the footy show the other night, Millsy.
Yeah.
The interview with Daniel Kerr. What did you make of that?
Look, he's either got a really nervous smile, or he's incredibly disingenuous. The stories he was telling Gary was he was trying to make it out that Gary was one of the boys who was telling Vegas stories in the locker room. I'm like, this is not the time to talk those blokey stories, mate. This is the time for you to say, I've done some pretty bad things, and I'm really upset about it, and I regret it. There was no remorse. Mm. And the other one that really bothered me was. he was talking about, did the West Coast Eagles give you enough reprimand? And he was like, yeah, I think so. I think so. What do you mean? They didn't suspend you from games. Like, they go, oh, yeah, they fined me. I'm like, but it didn't stop you. So you need to say...
Yeah, and we didn't have a drug problem with the Eagles.
Exactly.
You know, it seemed to be unanimous. And everyone who saw the interview said exactly what you said, that Gary, he not... being honest, hasn't faced up to his demons or issues. And I really question giving a bloke like that money. Did the Channel 9 pay him to appear there?
No confirmation that. I assume they would have.
I mean, that's, if they did pay him, I think that's a real problem. Because if a bloke's still battling those issues, you don't want to be giving him a wad of cash.
Yeah, Gary just looked uncomfortable the whole time, which made, I think, the audience uncomfortable. Mm. I just felt like, he hasn't really learnt from his... mistakes at all, and I think even he said, "Oh yeah, I'll probably just keep doing what I'm doing."
Is he now mentoring
young kids? Yeah,
yeah. Isn't he employed by the Aboriginal Community Services Group?
I believe he's doing some work with a government agency, I believe.
Well, you've got to question that.
No. Well, if he's all right, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm saying if
all
you've
had
got
bad moments.
If you've still got issues with if you haven't resolved your issues with illicit drugs. You shouldn't be counselling kids or anyone else who's battling issues.
If he hasn't, that's right.
Agreed.
We just don't know.
Of the charges he's facing and the
they from things he's done in the past, and he will get there'll be sanctioned for that at some stage.
Yeah.
So if he's in fact resolved those issues, as you said, we've all done silly things in the past that we prefer we wouldn't. Want to talk about
I think people who
I talk about all mine in the show
people who've overcome those difficulties are normally the best people to have in those roles once they've overcome them, not when they're still in denial about them. That's the key. I think he needs some tough love. I know his parents try to give him some tough love, leaving him in prison, not paying the bail.
Well, I don't think the club did at the time. And the only thing, actually, before we finish that, His loyalty is unfaltering. He didn't name any of the other players. He didn't even blame the club. He just his loyalty is great. That's the only thing I think I got out of it.
What else was great was your show last night, mate. Surprisingly good is what it's called, melbournecabaret.com. How else do we find out about it?
You could go to my website, robmills.net.au, or you could just come along to the Alex Theatre in Fitzroy Street.
Fitzroy
just near the Saint Hotel.
Just near the Saint, across the road.
Absolutely.
You'll love it. Get there. He is surprisingly good.